Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer. Through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Spirit of Life Church Global, it is his vision to raise God's end time on.
God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talent.
So, brace up for an experience.
You, the Ancient of Days, the I Am that I Am, the Lord strong and mighty, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Father, we give you praise, and we acknowledge you as the only wise one, the only one who can calm our troubled sea, the one whose word alone is able to rejuvenate us. We submit to receive your word tonight. Speak to us in a way only you can. Please, Lord, heal hearts, heal families, help anyone from any effect of dysfunctionalities, help your children to make wise choices. So we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now let's give Jesus a big, big hand. God bless you. You may please be seated. Thank you, Streams of Life. God bless you. Good evening, church. God bless you. I might suggest if you can have better lights for the sake of our documentations. Thank you. Amen. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you. Glad to have you around for Bible study. I want to celebrate Spirit of Life Church Abuja. So good to have you connected. Let's give them a big, big hand. I want to celebrate everyone connected with us at the moment online. Let's honor them with a big hand. Now, I am amazed at the way God has been using this message as a wave to bless and heal different homes. So one of the things we want to do is to take a moment and just share it and share the YouTube live stream. Will you do that? And invite a friend or two and welcome them to join us online. Take a moment to do that as we start Bible study. And while we do that, I like to read two scriptures. Both of them are scriptures we have read before. Then there's going to be one extra that we have not read as touching this subject matter. The book of Genesis, chapter number 2. We start reading from verse 17. Genesis chapter number 2 from verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Now, this is very important. Anything, it doesn't matter how smart it sounds. Please listen. It doesn't matter how sound or how intelligent it sounds. Anything that we attempt to do outside the original design breeds dysfunctionality. Anything. Anything that we attempt, it doesn't matter how smart we sound. I've been somehow appalled when I see a few comments from men saying things like, you can't confide in your wife because the day you offend her, she will use it against you. It may sound smart, but is it wise? And what is really happening is that people by themselves go outside God's will. So the kind of women that use their husbands, all right, what the husband has confided in them to insult the man, where did they find those kind of women? In God's will? You can't bring a girl from the club and expect her to behave like Holy Mary. It won't happen. There is a design. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And the fact that people are saying all this nonsense outside doesn't mean it is wise. The Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help. So if right now where you are seated, you believe women are not trusted, don't marry one. Because if you are going to get married, it means you have accepted that I'm ready to receive that help. I will make him an help, meet for him. Yes? Verse 19. And out of the ground God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Yes? And Adam gave names to all cattle, all fowl, and all fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made thee a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Yes. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. You will not miss God's design for you. Amen. Say that amen again loud and clear. Amen. So when God looked at this particular individual, this, what he was making or what he was cooking himself, he referred to her as a help, not house help. Help that is meat. All right? For him. So I want us to look at the book of Ephesians. We read that scripture a while back. Ephesians chapter number 5. I don't know how we're going to do it tonight, but it looks like a very long night. So I pray that will help us. Say amen with me. You just follow me as I start. Don't worry. Ephesians chapter number 5 from verse 21. Now this is God's design. Somebody say God's design. Come on, say it again. God's design. Submitting yourselves one to another in what? The fear of God. So listen. The reason you submit is not because the person necessarily deserves it. It's because you fear God. The reason you love your wife is not because she's necessarily the best woman on earth. It is because you fear God. It is a commandment. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Say it again, wives, submit yourselves. Now, you don't seem to like that statement. Say, wives. Wives. Come on, say, wives. Wife. Wife. You might like it. Don't worry. Say wives. Okay. Let's switch. Men, say wives. Tell them so they can hear. Say wives. Submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, women, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Now, hold on. Now, there's something we miss when we read this place.
Read it again.
Hold on. Love who? Love who? Who are you to love? Not another person's wife. Your wife. That's the command. Who are you to submit to? Your husband. Another person's husband? Your husband. Who should you love? Talk to me now. Oh, I have feelings for that woman. Who should you love? It's just one feeling. Who should you love? Any feeling that is trying to germinate for somebody else must die. It can only channel towards one person. It doesn't matter the pressure. Subdue it. Love your wife. Now, is it possible to love one woman throughout your lifetime? Some said it is not possible. Is it possible? Yes, it is. As Christ helps you. Praise God. I said praise God. Now, let's look at the book of Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. Alright, I need to give some foundation so I can start teaching. Proverbs chapter number 24. From verse 3. True wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. So it means, if we're going to build family structures that is very strong, one that is formidable, one that is a powerful tool in the hands of God, what must we employ? Wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this wisdom. And I want to reiterate it again. The home where the husband and the wife fear God will be happy. The home where the husband and the wife fear God will be a good home. It is not those situations first. It is lack of the fear of God. The fact that a man will take his hands and slap the wife, it is lack of the fear of God. The fact that a woman is angry and will not ask the husband, what are we making for dinner? It's lack of the fear of God. The fact that you can conveniently sit at a man with your friends and discuss your wife and shatter her is lack of the fear of God. The fact that women could sit down at the saloon and discuss their husbands in a very terrible light and go back home and say, welcome, darling, is lack of the fear of God. So one major quality you want to check, one you want to do life with, is the fear of God. Anyone who doesn't fear God can't be wise. Anybody who doesn't fear God cannot be wise. Does not have what it takes to walk in wisdom. So what the devil attacks first before he attacks the home is that he attacks your Christianity. It is not the home that got bad first. It is the faith life of those who are coming together. Their Christian life. Something died in it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Yes. It is the fact that some pretended to be Christians, but they were not. Some look like individuals that have met Christ, but they have not met him. And there are also people who are entering into marriage when they know nothing about marriage. And I see a lot of arrogance doing marriage counseling. People feel, what should you counsel us about? They think it's about sex. What's there? Marry. Live together. Cook. I eat. We go to work. Come back. And then they get inside and mess the whole thing up. So you look at it. You are amazed. You are amazed. That's why I personally don't get involved. Thank God for Pastor Mimi and the team. Let's give them a big hand. So it is very important that we understand that marriage is more than just two individuals who are happy to live together. It is the environment that God intends to use as a platform to raise giants. It is the niche. It is that environment that will form the mindset of those who are coming after. How you manage that niche will determine if anything good can grow on it. So you must understand that your marriage is more than just a platform where you are happy. It is a platform for God's purpose. God wants to express himself. He wants to heal the world through your marriage. That's what he wants to do. So it is beyond you. It is beyond you. It is beyond just eating shawarma and taking ice cream. You must understand that. That if you get it wrong, your entire purpose will be suffocated. And children will grow up wishing they were not born by you. And many of these things they cannot say. Many of you know things in your heart you can never tell your parents. But it doesn't change the fact that it is there. So in order for us to change the narrative, you must do more than blame game. First, you must heal. Then you must prepare differently. You have the tendency of repeating the same thing you blamed your parents for. Unless you are quarantined and helped. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Very important. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 11, verse 3, we read this on Sunday. That if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Many righteous people are struggling because of wrong foundation. They love God, they are sincere, but some attentions were not given to the foundation. And now there's a lot of struggle. And I said on Sunday, I'm just reiterating, that the reason why we need to discuss this subject is that if we don't address the effect of the dysfunctionality of your background, you may never be able to perceive life differently the way you should perceive it. And I said to you that there are loads of things that you do and the way you perceive life that is actually not the ideal way. Something injured you. And we have to investigate it. The reason why you react the way you react, the reason why you talk the way you talk, the reason why you see life the way you see life, the reason why you perceive men the way you perceive men, the reason why you perceive women the way you perceive women, it is actually an effect of the experiences of your life. And we cannot overlook it. We cannot overlook it. See, please listen. I want to make you understand what this teaching is not. This teaching is not me calling out the sin of those who have passed. It is me helping you see that certain things are responsible for the way you perceive life. Number one, you need to heal. Then number two, you need to do better. We are still discussing those things. We'll get to the point where we will now begin to discuss how to heal. Once we are done with that, then we'll now get to how to do better. Is that okay now? Because it is very easy to discuss. One of the things that may likely happen as I am teaching now, I say, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's all those things they did. It's not my fault. But we are a product of nature and nurture. At certain point, you have to take responsibility. And you've passed the season where you play blame games. Is that okay now? Good. So I began to list different kinds of dysfunctional backgrounds that exist, and I said, number one, when you have an abusive father or mother. When a child grows up in a family where the father and the mother are both abusive. And I said there are three categories of that: either sexual abuse, or verbal abuse, or emotional abuse. Number two, we spoke about absent father or mother. And I said something really significant on Sunday. That this generation is trying to push a narrative. I don't have any issue with those who say they are called into the ministry of emancipation of women or women empowerment, there's no problem. As long as we are not raising a generation of women who are insubordinate. Let me say this to you. Women have higher propensity for pride. What did I say? There are very few women that can manage success and their home without destroying it with their hands. Don't argue. The fact that you are arguing shows that you have the tendency. So what do you do with such statement? You go back, you introspect, and you tell God to help you to be different. When you read comment sessions online, people say that you can't trust a woman to have more money than you. The question you want to ask is, why are men thinking like this? Okay? Then there is a tendency here. We are gradually coming to the point where marriage is not for better, for worse. For better, for stay. For bad, for go. And it's terrible. If any man try to stress my life, I pack out. I leave the house for him. That's not the design. So when people have conflicts that should be resolved, the reason why they can't resolve it is because they have options. People who don't have options will stay and repair their homes. You see, the people that advise people to leave their homes, they are not leaving theirs. You see, no man can do this thing with me. Any man that tried this thing with me, he will collect. The husband is doing worse and they are still staying. You don't pick your reference from the society. You pick your reference from the Bible. What the word says. The price of a good woman is far above rubies. That's the price. Where did the tenacity of our mothers go to? Okay? And vice versa. In the case of men, we are having men now who are more feminine than being a man. You'll be amazed that a man will keep malice with his wife for 1 week. They have settled the matter. Good morning. And you are wondering, who is the man in the house? They will serve him food with nose. He will still eat it and lick the plate. He doesn't mind stopping the family devotion because he's keeping malice with the wife. Are you amazed? Some men are almost counting meat in the pot. Say they grew up among women. Okay? So, when either of the parents is missing in action, nothing else can fill that spot. When a mother is missing in the life of a child, particularly at a very tender age, the child will be exposed to maltreatment. It doesn't matter how hard or how much family members try to raise a child. Nobody can raise a child like the mother. None of you will die before your time. You will give birth to your children and live to take care of them. That amen didn't seem like the prayer is for you. Okay? Nobody can take care of a child like the mother. When that part is missing, the child is not exposed to the warmth of a mother. The child is exposed to the cold of life. The cold. It's cold out there. And people throw many things. And I said, we have to understand that there are things now that exist that were not captured in the Bible. What the Bible said about this is, can a mother forsake a sucking child? As a matter of fact, the conclusion is that it was not possible. So much so God will not forsake you. But it is actually happening.
People will give birth to children, put the child in a poly bag, drop the child by a dustbin. There was a woman that was apprehended that sold her own child for 400,000 naira. Okay? So, children raised under different conditions. You see, I'm not preaching emotional gospel. I'm trying to show you an aspect we have neglected. And as long as we neglect this aspect, we're going to be in trouble. Do you know what it feels like when a child that grew up in an orphanage home is trying to get married? Who sits down as the mother and the father? Do you not think they think about it? When a child that was collected from a madwoman, rescued by the community, sent to school by the community, wants to get married, how do you think that child will be bold to tell the fiance that actually that madwoman that drinks that gutter, that's my mother? The church seem not to understand that these realities exist. They are some people's reality. And we have to be able to bring the word to them at that level. Okay? And when a child is not covered like that, one of the things that happens is that the child finds it difficult to trust anyone else. Because the one that brings love to the table has disappointed. In fact, when you see a boy that the mother did not grow up with, one of the things that happens is that he becomes cold. He can't. When he's in love with a girl, he's also mean. Because he can't give what he doesn't have unless Christ has done the work in him. It is difficult to give love in its fullness and in the purity of it. He doesn't understand how to love a woman. He can break a relationship and never have remorse. And you feel you have wasted your time with him. Because the person who makes up the love aspect of that life, the care, God missing in action. When a mother is missing in the life of a girl, she becomes wayward. Seriously. Because she will have to develop strength at a very tender age. And sometimes to do so, people do the things they should not do. There are things a mother will see and observe that a father may not be able to observe because of the uniqueness in both genders. And this is what happens. The one who is missing in the life of a child, through adulthood, the child finds it difficult to trust that gender. Because the one who should represent, you see, who a mother is to a male child is that the mother is the male child's first love. Who a father is to a girl child is that the father is the girl child's first love. So when I'm not at home and I'm talking with my wife via video call, when my daughter hears my voice, she runs from wherever she is. She's going to take the phone. That's her daddy. If my wife had to travel and I'm having video call with my wife and I say, come talk to your mommy, she doesn't send. Okay? But if it's a male child, it's going to be vice versa. The connection to the mother makes the child feel important. If that thing is not there, that loophole, only God can help the child. So, what do you do when you are in a relationship with a guy whose mother was missing in his life? One way to help him is to bring what a mother should bring to the table. Let me leave it, because I might be going into things that are too deep. Because it doesn't look like you want to understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? What does a mother bring to the table of a child? Understanding. Understanding. Yorubas, they make an adage that Bami no mommy o de no lomo. That is, when a mother says, beat my child, it's not deep. Don't overdo it. The mother understands the child. She can see through him. She communicates with him with the softness of her tone, and she compels the softness of his heart. If that part is missing, he becomes hard. And he suspects every female in his life. Because the one who should be there ran. So why should I trust you? So what happens when the father is missing in the life of a boy? The father does more than just giving birth. The father gives identity. He helps you to understand who you are as a male. He shows you your internal strength you've been wired with. You can stand boldly in the society, and no one dares to ask you, whose child are you? And you see in scripture, whenever they name people, they will always mention the name of their father. That's the identity. David, the son of Jesse. That's the identity. The father gives more than identity. There's something else the father gives to the child that is very, very significant. The male child now, precisely. The male child. The father helps the child. The father helps the child cultivate strength. The strength of your gender. Your masculinity. This is how you are to be strong. Do it like this. When a child grows up and the child doesn't know the father, one of the prevalent questions in the heart of the child is, who am I? Because the father is the picture of where the child is coming. So it's a very serious matter. For a woman to give birth to a child and she doesn't know whose man, who she gave birth to the child for. Who is responsible for the pregnancy? Have you seen cases where there are five men trying to do DNA test? When we live like this, we are breeding dysfunctionality. Now, Dr. Miles Monroe said there was this research done by Harvard, I can't remember, or was it New York Times? They were checking the reason why there were so many men, more men in prison, more men committing suicide, more men doing this. And one of the things they were able to conclude is that they all had daddy issues. When a father is missing in a man's life, he becomes aggressive. He is pained because he has no identity and is looking for a way to hurt the society. He wants everyone to have a feel of his pain. That's why you have deviants. What do you think will make someone pick a knife and stab another person? Is in pain also. You see, when we talk like this, we are not justifying those acts. We are showing you where they are coming from. Because I've discovered people don't know many things about these things. Why do you think the Black American communities have some of the issues that they have? Have you taken time to study Black American communities? The drug issues, car theft, gang issues, the way they kill themselves. Check. Because in that community, one of the things the devil destroyed was fatherhood. Fatherhood. A father brings stability to the family. When he is around, everything is stable. He brings stability through his leadership. Have you seen children sometimes respond to their mothers in funny ways? As young as my daughter is, if I tell her, young lady, sit down there, it will take the power of God to bring her down. Sit down there. It's an instruction, not an advice. It is dangerous for a child to grow up and there's no one the child reveres. No. To revere your parents, to fear them, it's actually important. It's dangerous. That's what a father brings to the home. Stability, identity, training, discipline. He is the lawgiver. The mother is the law interpreter. And when the lawgiver is missing, there's no law. In the land that there's no law, there's no sin. When a father is missing in the life of a girl, now that's very serious. Because the father, when it comes to women, to ladies now, the father is the one that gives her a sense of importance. The father communicates to her by loving the mother that one day she's good enough for her husband. And that's why one of the best ways to love your children is to love your wife. The father, through his affection, communicates to the girl child that she's in safe hands. His warm words to her tells her that she's important. It helps shape and mold her esteem. The fact that he tells her she's beautiful makes her believe it. When a girl grows without this important figure in her life, she grew up looking for love. And because this person that should supply it was not around, she feels anyone that brings it to her is doing her a favor. One of the things that happens to a girl whose father is missing is that people easily take advantage of them because they become vulnerable. When a girl has daddy issues, she becomes vulnerable. Like I said, unless Jesus has come to help her. When you hold your daughter by the hand and take her out on a date, what you are doing is that you are helping her form her love life. When, in fact, let me say this to you. When you have a home that the father understands what fatherhood is, the girl prefers to be open to the father. I think the one that men hear last is when she's in love. I can't remember, but I think I saw, I think they share an excerpt in a movie. A guy was going to take a girl on a date. So the guy came to the girl's house to pick her. Then the father held his hand and took him into a room and showed him his friends with their big chests and muscles. Just so you see, those that are coming for you, if you mess with her heart. When a guy finds a girl and he knows that the father is missing, if the guy doesn't know God, he will give her the impression that he's doing better. And she can't complain. What do you do when you are from a family where your dad didn't stay? You must find and embrace the love of Christ. and never allow anyone to define you. And sometimes people feel it's not realistic. How do you live? It is absolutely realistic. The Holy Spirit can cover for any deficiency. He heals every wound. He fills every loopholes. He mends every heart. We must understand this. So the devil understands the balance, that if these two things are present, there is a level of balance it brings, and he's fighting it. So we can have dysfunctional settings. Settings that are not functioning according to divine pattern. But do you know that the worst is the father who is at home but not present? And that's why I need to talk about this. You must understand that it is not a sign of blessing to have a kind of job that makes you too busy for your family. It is not blessing. And that's one of the things happening around now. People work early in the morning, 5 o'clock, they have to enter, hold up, to get to work by 7. They leave the work around 7:30, won't be home until 11. By the time they get home, the children are sleeping. On Saturday, that's when family now see each other. And because of the stress of the week, they won't see each other until 12. Sunday again, after service, is gone to sleep. Anything that gives you money and takes you away from your family has taken too much from you. Because at the end of the day, the money will be useless without the family. Do you understand what I'm saying here? To absent father or mother. Number 3. Something quite similar to it. Single father or mother. From the beginning, male and female created he them. There is something the both are to bring to the table that one can successfully bring. Do you understand? There is something the both will bring to the table that one cannot successfully bring. Now, what do we do in a situation where, please listen to this. What do we do in a situation where a woman has married an abusive man? Okay? And the man wants to kill her. And she has to escape for her life. Because the idea that God hates divorce is not an invitation to die young. There are people to flee from. What did I say? There are people to what? Flee from. You escape for your life first. Escape, explain later. Because the attempt, do you understand what I'm saying here? The attempt to sit back and explain will mean that you'll be dead. It is not just, there are men that will beat their wives to death. There are women that will stab the man till he dies. There are women now on death row because they killed their husband. They didn't deal with anger. Since their childhood season, when they are angry, their hands is burning, shaking. They are looking for something. When in a relationship, you took her out to the eatery. She got offended. Threw the plate on the ground. You look at her. I said, I just love you the way you are. Equal to my pie, the death that will kill you. Get angry! Speak! Get up in the middle of an eatery! There's fire on the mountain. Run, run, run. Any relationship you can't break is already bad. The fact that you have sense means you can walk away. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Anybody who is in any relationship that you can't walk away from is toxic already. Man, I can't. And listen, the reason why people can't leave is low self-esteem. If I leave him now, who will love me? Are you not beautiful? Are you not a lady? And apologies. People who don't have eyes, who don't have legs, who don't have hands, somebody loves them. With your eyes, fine face, everything. You say, who will love me?
Because you said you're already 27. So girls who are 27, nobody loves them.
The reason why many girls stick with such men is because their fathers didn't do any better. That's the painful truth. That's the painful truth. Many girls that have daddy issues marry men that give their children daddy issues. Be bold and be confident enough to walk away from any abusive relationship. If a man slaps you, don't pity him. He's done too much. Don't say he will change. Nobody changes in marriage. They become serious version of what they've shown you. Amplify the addition. What he showed you, King James. Thou art fairest amongst women. Marry him. They will expand it. How do you stay with a man who is abusing you? You are a young girl dating. You are the one that will make semo in the night, jollof rice in the morning, whatever you make in the afternoon. On top of it, he will insult you and compare you with his friends. You see his messages on his phone. He's chatting with different girls, but he said you are the main one. I like your friend, but it's you I love. And you stay there. If it is not low self-esteem, what is it? Let me say this to you. No boy is doing you a favor for loving you. No boy. Is the finest guy around church. To hell with the finest. See, listen. Go with the guy that will give you peace of mind. Not fine boy that people want to kill you on top. Which one is fine boy that you don't have peace? And see, this idea that some men have that is, you see, the way I'm fine. So that's why women can't stop coming after me. You are not fine. You are stupid. Let me say it. And meanwhile, you are actually assuming that you are fine. You are narcissistic. You are not that fine. That's the truth. It's just foolishness. That see me as I said. Every girl, they flock after me. The way chicken goes after corn. Fine boy, wife, don't get peace of mind. Which kind of fine boy is that? Yeah, fine boy. Yeah, of the yeahsness. Apologies, but I'm not sorry. 6 feet, 4 inches. To hell with it. Goliath was taller. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some things people say. Like all these fine pastors, how will their wives have peace of mind? Have you checked my wife? No, don't clap. It's supposed to be ideal. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the normal thing. It's nothing special. That you are not fucking around with girls, you are not doing anything special. You are just being normal. Simple. It's nothing to applaud. It's because of the problem we've seen around. That's why you think that fidelity is something which you celebrate. It is normal. You have one. You are still trying to understand. You now go and carry another one. Is something not wrong with you? It is not fineness that is making girls run after you. It is looseness. You are loose. You are a city without wall. That is what is happening. And the Bible said, don't yield your strength to women. Don't yield it to those who destroy kings. If you know that you have a future, you will protect it.
Don't wake up early in your life chasing women. Chase purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And you too. Sister, I like him. You are your own problem. Have you tried to counsel a tongue-speaking sister who is in love with a wrong guy? Oh, they give you all the Holy Ghost reason why God is there. You can see this is problem. This guy, wahala. He's not hiding it. As they are counseling him, it's Ayobale. It's just doing. You look at his lips. I know what Igbo looks like. They ask him, "Are you born again?" He said, "I attend so and so church." Wala. "Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost?" She quickly speak and cover him. He used to pray in tongues once in a while. Pray in tongues, let's see you. Hey, chokomilo, chokomilo. She quickly interrupts. That's his tongue. You know, his tongue. A guy is obviously chasing many girls, but you want to be the one that will win him at last. Sister Trophy. Oh, win here. He was going after about 5 different girls, but I won him at last. Ballon d'Or. You see your life. Others are winning, so you are winning men. Things people bring up themselves. They can read the signs. They can see him. She knows his life. She knows that this guy is trouble. But she has asked herself, "Where will I find another man?" She's concluded that if he leaves, who will come? Because somebody did not give her identity. Something is missing. Else, why do good girls stick around terrible boys? Boys who don't know their right from their left. This girl, God has invested in her. She's making them. Why? How did we believe that lie? That if you are past 25 as a girl, no man is in your life, your own is finished. How did we believe that lie? A man at 35, at 40, still knows he's going to get a good girl. But we put the girls under pressure. Listen to me. That everybody around you is marrying doesn't mean your spouse is around. The pressure of let's so that everybody we rhyme with what? How? Sir, marriage is good. It is beautiful, but it is not destiny. You must find your purpose and begin to fulfill it. Let your spouse meet you in the middle of it. That's how to be important. Not like they come to meet you at so and so age. What are you doing? I've been waiting. While you were waiting, what were you doing? I was learning how to cook, how to iron clothes, how to sweep the floor. You have waited in vain. Many girls went for what they got. They will see a good guy, but they like the jaru that speaks in tongues. I just like guys with a touch of bad boys. It is pornography that gave her a mindset. She has something she wants to satisfy, and she does not believe that good boys have it. When you are hooked on pornography, there is 90% chance you will marry wrong, because you will marry for sex. People are not saying it. When you see a boy, that girl is good. I don't. He's saying, he's doing like this. What are you talking about? Say, you know, Apostle, she doesn't have... What doesn't she have? You know, I like them. You like them. Are you describing a lorry or a trailer? You like them what? They will say it. I know you understand. I don't understand. Then you use physical feature as a yardstick to determine who you want to spend your entire life with. Life that you don't have spare. How does a man being tall accumulate to the fact that he's wise? Apologies to tall guys. I'm also not short. But how does he have... Is it that as he's growing, he's also growing in wisdom? Because some people forget the wisdom behind. That's the fact. You are amazed. You look at the guy, handsome, good-looking guy. He's talking, no content. You can't draw a conversation with him. The book, he won't read. He just plays PS. May God help us. Must go back to the sanctity of what marriage is. I'm going to jump the subject of single parenting because there are too many things around it that I don't want to be insensitive about. Number four. When a child grows up with an abusive guardian, now both the father and the mother are missing, staying with a family member who is abusive. An auntie, an uncle who is abusive. Many girls can never say what their uncles have tried to do to them. The daddy everybody respect. The number of times they are tried to unzip her. Most cases of a rape or near rape issues were actually done by family members. Family members. And people can't talk. Because he's a respected uncle. Oluwabi. The one everybody looks up to. He has his own daughters. But he will sneak to her room every night. Family members that will remind you, if it was easy, your parents should be the one taking care of you. If it was easy, they should be the one paying your school fees. So what the child has is a house and not a home. And these are issues. These are issues. Family members or guardians who are verbally abusive, they have no sense of connection to the child. They talk him down. They talk her down. If the child comes late, they will lock the gate and say, there's no way to come in. And I want to say this. If God has blessed you, be careful of your children spending holidays with family members. Many of them come back defiled. And they cannot talk. Either by the son of the uncle. I know what I'm saying. And they can't talk. That's where many things happen. Some of you have experiences. You can't talk. How do you say it? These are serious issues. Family members who have no connection to the child. They are discussing the child's parents in the presence of the child. Your father is this. Your mother is this. Look at your life. And what happens when this is happening is that the child can't wait to get out. The child sees that the only way to live a meaningful life is the day I leave this house. So the child doesn't mind living either through school, and when there's break, doesn't want to come back. There are many children roaming about campuses that you see on campus during holidays because there's no home to return to. They love to be at home the way their colleagues have gone home. There is nowhere home, call home. So when they are shutting down the hostels, they will go to another place they've not logged. They will stay there for a week again. They will shut down. If they become vulnerable, it is the fact. I pastored around campus for years, and I know what I'm saying. We are not justifying it, but we are saying it happens. You will not be missing. Oh.
The fifth example of a dysfunctional setting. A promise or promiscuous father or mother. When a child is raised by a father or a mother who is promiscuous.
Do you know what it feels? The kind of damage it does for a child to know that daddy is cheating.
The boy believes that one woman cannot satisfy a man. The girl believes that she can never be enough for her husband. Children who have found their father's messages, text messages. In fact, it has become so bad that there are children who have found their father's sex tape. On the phone. They've seen it. They can never tell him. And leadership dies. He ceases to be a model, but he's still instructing.
And they are wondering, who is the good example? Who am I to look like?
And what is unfortunate is that many children just believe this is the way to go. This is the way to go. And the man knows that the boy knows. Have you seen where father and son are jamming each other to tell?
Don't laugh. It happens.
The man has brought another woman that is not the boy's mother. The boy too is not married. He's brought a girlfriend. And they are seeing each other. Say, ah, you used to come here. Ah, bad man, bad child. I went to a family house where I saw father, mother, two sons, and their daughter smoking weed. Where do you want to start from? Where do you want to start from? You see, if you are a young man who have a father that is promiscuous, one of the things a leader communicates is possibility. That is, what he's doing is not just what he's doing. It is actually showing you that it is possible. You don't know the degree to which you have believed the possibility. Don't take yourself for granted. Go in a long stretch of prayer for that pattern not to repeat itself. Because patterns are very strong. The ground that a father loses, the children will fight in it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You know, you grew up in a family where you know there's a pattern of promiscuity. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. You must deal with it in the place of prayer. Aggressive one. That there is no connection between me and the evil that flows in this lineage. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are new. I am more connected to Christ than I am to this family. You must sign up to the covenant of exemption. Don't ignore patterns. It is like a wave. It meets people where they are. It's just a matter of time. Ignoring patterns is not the way to escape it. You come from a place, and listen to what I'm saying. When you are dealing with it, you must deal with it out loud. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I will live a life as the temple of Christ. I will not defile myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do not internalize that battle. Fight it. Lift your voice and shut it down. The appetite. All you need for your children to have to fight that battle is to also do it once. And once you do it once, you can't stop. So one way to deal with adultery is to never fornicate. Because a fornicator would graduate and become an adulterer. It doesn't matter if the person you are fornicating is the person you marry. You will graduate. And when you are dating a guy and you are sleeping with each other, you are cheating with him on God. He's going to cheat on you with somebody else. When you were in your own time, you were enjoying it. Cry out. See, listen to what I'm saying. Don't ignore the pattern of immorality. It flows in families. This one is warfare. If you're under the sound of my voice and you're a man and you know you are coming from a place where you can count one wife, two wives, maybe on one occasion they've called you and say your father has a child outside and they are saying this, it became a debate. I am saying don't fight it quietly. Somebody has shown you that it is possible. Can I give you a moment to pray? If you have no business with it, no problem. But if you can trace, link one or two together, in a minute, please cry out and say, God, I am exempted. Will you please pray? Pray against the appetite. Pray against that evil desire. No. Not my generation. Not me. No. It goes no further. You have 30 more seconds to pray. Jesus, mighty name, we're praying. Now sit down for a while. Listen. This is where the issue is. The one you don't trust amongst your parents because of promiscuity, you are going to replicate that same lack of trust in your spouse. For instance, hold on a minute. If you're a girl who saw your father engage in sexual immorality, it was a common knowledge in the family. It becomes difficult to trust the male gender. There are two ways you will respond to it. Number one, you become insecure. Or number two, you expect your spouse to do it. And you just surrender to it. That's how men are. And either of the both reactions is already happening. Particularly if you have that, you saw that happening. When you see such pattern, begin to pray for the person you marry. Your heart and mind is shielded with the blood of Jesus. You will not bring us pain. Now, listen. And I'm not saying this to stigmatize anyone. But there are cases where either of the parties will go and sleep around and bring sickness home. And they die. It happens. Children become orphans. A man went to do DNA test. It was a serious matter in Nigeria. Did you do DNA test? I think for 3 children. They were about to travel out and discovered that he's not a father to any of the children. He killed his wife and I think he killed himself and left the children. Now they are doing, are you aware that 90%, I was sharing with my wife, of DNA test issues in Nigeria actually shows that the men are not the fathers. 90%. That's a big figure. 90!
that a woman is married but she's still talking to an ex. What are you doing with your ex? You are a married man but you are still gisting with your ex. As what? Your ex can't enter into the circle of your friends again. From the moment you say I do, listen, particularly if it's an ex that both of you took yourself on journey you should not go to, what happens is that the devil becomes the person becomes a doorway for the possibility of immorality in your life. The chat is an invitation. You are chatting with an ex that still wants you, though married, and you are playing to be naive. What conversation are you opening with a woman you are not married to and deleting the chat? You have started your own pattern too. Are you seeing that what you hated is already happening? Listen, I beg you in the name of Jesus. Let me say this to you emphatically. You cannot overcome immorality alone. You and your wife. That's this issue of marrying a woman. You can't trust a woman. You have to go on the journey together. In marriage, the both will be naked and unashamed. This one that you are married but your phone is passworded with 4 layers of password. You open with facial look or something. Your fingerprint is there. Then there's code. Then PIN. How? What are you locking? You are a married man. WhatsApp is locked. Then you use GB WhatsApp. There are chats. I don't know how they do all those things. Criminal act. Chats that... The day you begin to delete chats, you already started the journey of adultery. Any chat you can have with anyone and you have to delete, you've shown the devil that there's something here. If you are from a place where there's pattern of immorality, understand that it is not far from you. You will need to fight to be free. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 from verse 2. Let's start from verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3. Oh Lord God, help us. Help, Lord. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4 now. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. For the pulling down of what? Strongholds. You see, comedy shows that is communicating that immorality is not that serious. That adultery is menting. It is building an ideology. That's stronghold. You see people saying it. It is, they are beginning to communicate that adultery is not really... No man can really cope with a woman for his lifetime. They are building a mindset. What is going to happen is that the devil will use that mindset to fight you from inside out. Never treat immorality with levity. Fight. Because when you start, you can't stop. Now that you have not started cheating, don't initiate the process. And if you have started, cry out. You married him as a girl, but you are still emotionally attached to your ex. There are cases of people who go and sleep with their ex the night before their wedding. The night before their wedding. They'll say, one final sex. Is that ever the final? Will it ever stop? Does it ever stop? And after saying I do, they are booking hotels outside the town. Don't be naive. These things are happening. They are happening. Let me say this to you. If you notice that you have an ex that you are emotionally bounded to, you feel you can't control yourself around them, block them. What you don't see, you can't be attracted to. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen. It is attention that breeds affection. If you notice that you are having... Listen, let me give you this formula. If you are a married man
and you notice that you are liking somebody else that is not your wife, there is something you believe the person brings to the table that your wife is not bringing to the table. Communicate, listen to what I'm saying. Every sense of importance the person have, take the portfolio and give your wife. Your wife is not dull. This person only looks important because you give the person the right to look important. You have a secretary in your office that brings you tea every time. And when she brings you the tea, you look at her and say, "My God, I wish I married this girl." Tell her to stop. In fact, don't tell her to stop. Sack her. Why should you sack innocent girl? Because are you not the one who likes her? Why should you sack her? Hey, brother, pity. Oh no. She will get another job. Sack her. For the sake of your family. Sack her. Anybody who tries to give you an impression that they are better than your wife is dangerous. That person is not your friend. From the moment, let me put it like this, you must make up your mind that I'll be satisfied with my wife. Do you understand? Do you understand? Make up your mind now. Don't say, you know, we don't know. When we get to the bridge, we'll cross it. Ha! We are trying to date a guy. We are asking him, "What's your idea of sexual purity?" He said, "Actually, you know, after you know, this is our body. Only God will help us." Ah. You've heard women in the neighborhood complain that your wife is asking out somebody who is your age mate. Do you know what it does to you? It shows you what is possible. And it gives you the impression that as you are growing older, your wife will no longer look fine. Are you also as fine as you used to be? Your six packs have become water packs. Why are we trying to make it like it is a man thing to cheat? Like men are gods, so gods are, they must take sacrifices. You become the living sacrifice. That's what the Bible said. And you must listen to what I'm saying. Learn purity now. There is no better. See, this generation is becoming more perverse. Things are becoming more serious. Learn purity when? Now. What you will not finish, don't start. There's a sister you like to give ride all the time. And you enjoy her company. And you are married. What figure of speech is that? I just like to talk to her. Let me say this to you. Anybody you talk to on phone as a married man and you don't want the conversation to end, the person is dangerous enough. You should... Am I being too extreme? See, there is nothing you do to stop adultery that is extreme. Anyways, put that in context. Don't say, "Go and stab the girl," because say, "Now I've killed her, I can't like her again." No, that's not, you understand what I'm saying? But there's nothing you do as touching personal discipline. Paul said, "I put my body under, I beat it with blow." So having preached to others, I myself should not be a what? Cast away. Listen to what I'm saying. I've been pastoring this church before I got married. Many times I will come to the altar and break people's hearts and say things like, "Nobody should chat me up and say I love you. Let me know which I love you is I love you. I love you. Love you. Where there then? You know I said it." Because I was not understanding again. If a single girl is telling a single pastor I love you, the single pastor too is that mother, I love you too. Something is coming. And before the thing will become what we can't do. Do you understand what I'm saying? The day I introduced my wife to the church, I introduced her with my full chest. If there's anybody I led on, come out. You are in this church, I led you on.
or I began to chat you up. I said this, apostle did this. Come out. Shout. Tell the world. He touched me. Oh, don't mind him. He's a liar. He said, listen to what I'm saying. When people insult me online, those who defend me are Muslims. Hostel mate on campus. Secondary school mate. They will always put there. We know him. I'm not perfect, though. We know him. That you are a single pastor, me, you must sample all the girls. Every good woman is not your wife. You only have one for a lifetime. Or are you praying that she should die? Don't marry a man that will pray he should die so he can be free. Do you understand? Let me tell you this finally. Don't cultivate an environment that is conducive for immorality. One of the ways to do that is to shut your wife down. When a man conquers his wife and shut her down, you can't look at my phone, you can't do this, you call me Lord, like Sarah called Abraham Lord. When you shut her down, you are creating a conducive environment for adultery. You dominate the world, not your wife. I'm telling you, begin to notice from the moment you find it difficult to post your wife. Who are you liking that is making it difficult to post your wife? Who are you feeling you will hurt when you post that you love your wife? Who? No, these are deep matters now. No, look at me like you don't understand, no problem. Who are you beginning to consider that is making you to difficult for you to publicly confess that you love your wife? Any man under the sound of my voice today, if you can hear what I'm saying, after this service, post your wife. Then, if you are in a relationship, post her. Enough is enough of hiding. No. I give you the go ahead. If you are in a relationship, post her. Post him. If you don't, I will post you. I'll tell the boys to sit with your picture, mix the picture together, and say, thank God for these two. Because which one is the idea of being in a relationship? People are still liking you and you are still giving green light. No, it happens in church. True or not true? There are sisters that their body language denies the person they are dating. Body language. Unmarried widow. No, all it is the fact. The body language communicates that there's no man in my life. And she likes somebody. That's a dangerous girl. That's what? Yeah, no, married. Hot spot. Oh, yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Post here. Because single time, post it. Listen to what I'm saying. The last is human being you marry. Last, what everybody will say is, wow. They will move on. Post it. Let those whose heart will be broken be broken. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to help you. I'm not looking at anybody. So that you will not fight unnecessary battles. Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you like a person and you are hiding her? Or you are hiding him? Yeah, just shouting, yes, sir, yes, sir. Oh, you nicked that. I've been watching your post. It's just Moro Church, Moro Church, Moro Church. All of you who have been posting Dove on fire. And if you are a single lady, don't use me as DP. What's my home with you? Why will you use me as DP? I am somebody's husband. No, know it's the fact. And I belong to that woman alone for life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only my wife has the right to use me as DP. You want to celebrate me? Status is 24 hours. Oh, we celebrate your apostle. Oh, baton. Finish. I can't be your DP. No. I can't be. No. Wallpaper is extreme. What are you saying? Ah. Am I communicating here? Because listen to what I'm saying. Many girls, boys are not coming around because of wrong positioning. They will be posting their sister's son in a way that looks like it is their child. Somebody is now thinking she's a single mother. But that's not your child. You are calling a child my baby. That is not your child. Post the mother of the child. Somebody will see that will not have patience to look at the next one. Just, OTB more. She has a child. Do you understand? There are things we do that is self-sabotage. Posting Joshua Selman, Femi Lazarus, Lawrence Oyo. Thank God for these men of God. Post yourself. You are fine. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You are fine. You have locked Instagram. We can't see. Twitter. Locked. TikTok. You will not post anything. It's funny memes you'll be posting. We can't see you anywhere. How can a man who can't see you identify you? You are making it difficult. Be rightly positioned. All those fine pictures on your phone, who are they for? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. It is very, very difficult. It is very, very easy to fall in love with your pastor. Very easy. Don't make it easier. Father is father. Pastor, pastor. Keep it so. DP, Ashejuni. It's too much. War rapper, extreme. Check the wallpaper of your neighbor. Say, oh yeah, let's see your wallpaper. Wait. Let me show you my wallpaper. It's my wife. I now go and post somebody there. Say, who is that? Say, daughter. Daughter, how? Do you understand? That's why I married quickly. Because I'll now be standing here. They say he's single. Ah. Voila. No, it's the truth. You don't make people's life easy. Everybody is single. I say, Apostle is single. God forbid. Make life easy for people and make it easy for yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes people don't say these things and something is brooding. And when it manifests, it becomes dangerous. You can live this life with wisdom and unspotted. You can pastor as a young person and pastor people to their old age. And you didn't defile anybody. My greatest joy is when all these girls have been leading 10 years ago, 12 years ago, men are coming to pick them. And we can freely talk and lay hands on the both of them. Decree words and blessings as a father. Father is better. Number what did I give you? Number 5. Let me stop at number 5. When next I'm here, which should be Sunday, I'm going to give you from number 6 to number 10. But let me... Thank you. No, you may clap if you want to. Let me give you 4 things that are affected by dysfunctional backgrounds. 4 things that are affected
by dysfunctional backgrounds. Number one, your relationships. Now, let me say this to you. I said something on Sunday. Look up, everybody. One of the most difficult things for me to do as a pastor is to lead a guy that has male issues. I suffer the affliction of the way people perceive their biological fathers, both male and female. There are people who can't, they try to be free. They can't, because the first image of who a father is didn't communicate that there's an economy there for freedom. So here is church. You have a pastor, but you can't be free. You see other people come around him, and sometimes they are so free, and they are saying, "Apostle, thank you," and they come to embrace. You have it in your heart, but you can't give it because of the way you perceived the first man in your life. So it's already affecting relationships in your life. You already seen everyone like that. You already suspecting every man because of the one who tried to rape you. If a guy comes to your life, you suspect him. You even suspect the pastor. That all these pastors that are wearing jeans, don't mind them because of what one did. Not because of what this one did. It affects relationships. Let me say this to you. You must make up your mind that you will not die without expressing yourself. Enough of being in that cage. Let loose. You've been tied for so long. Some of you can dance, but you are not free to, because something is numbing your freedom. And you've had relationships break because the guys feel don't love them, but because you can't express it. Something killed it. You must fight it and get out of that prison. You can't live there. Don't allow the past destroy the present. Don't allow the marriage of your parents destroy yours. Tell yourself, I will express myself. I sense the Lord asking me to speak on the issue of expression. I will express myself. I will be free to express and to love. See, expression doesn't mean sinning. It means letting love flow. That you can truly communicate to a person how much you care is an expression. And many find it difficult to do. Can't communicate how much you care, how much you love. You are in a relationship. You don't know how to respond to the nice words he's saying because something is dead on the inside. You must find your expression. You must find your expression. You are a guy. Now you suspect the girl because there was never a woman in your life. You must heal and love and trust. There are people who don't like me, not for anything I've done, but because of the way they perceive every male in their lives. Sometimes it's a struggle to get over their walls and instruct them and help them. Some of them don't have issue with what you say until you instruct. So they built a wall against instructions because they perceive instructions as oppression. Because they stay with an oppressive man. And that is what is happening in South Africa. The aftermath of the apartheid that they went through. You can't tell an average South African to sit down. They feel it is oppression. It gives this reactionary life. You must heal. And you must tell yourself, I will have healthy relationships. The circle of your friend, you are the best, but they perceive you as the worst because you can't express yourself. When will you ever dance publicly? Will that day ever happen in your lifetime? When will you ever be able to tell your spouse how much you love him and how much you love her? Will that day ever happen? Will you ever come out of this prison? Don't allow yourself to be locked in there. I know what I'm saying like I know my name. So I'm not talking what doesn't exist. This is not a fool talking here. The things you know in your heart you can do that you only imagine. When will you ever do it? Start from the dancing issue. When you walk out in church, you are shaking. You feel all eyes are on you. Why? What if all eyes are on you? Are you not important? Are you not powerful? Are you not beautiful? Why should all eyes not be on you? When will you ever carry yourself regardless? When will you ever stand and manifest the leadership on your inside? You know you have it. When will you ever give the full expression? I challenge you to start now. There are people who are, you know you have much more, but they keep getting those things done. And they throw you out of many circles. But you know you are better. But who considers anyone who is better who is not expressive? When somebody is the best but is not decked with boldness, everybody ignores the person. When will you ever be bold to rule your world? I've shown you what killed it. But you must fight for your imagines. You must. And that's the question you must ask yourself. With the way I'm living, will I ever be free? All the giftings, the graces, the talent, the skills, the things you have on your inside, the multiple giftings and abilities, will you ever manifest them before you die? Will you ever act? Will you ever write those books? Will you ever sing those songs? Do you consider yourself important to give all the full expression? Will you ever do it in this lifetime? Or your children will live in the shadows of those pains? Will you ever be free? And nobody cares about the one who is numb and the one who is hiding. The world only regards those who express it. Enough of dying in silence. Step up and break out of those chains. And tell yourself, I will live this one life well. I will give expression to all I have on my inside. I will manifest it. I will be happy. I will express myself. I will not write post and delete. Write and delete. And say, what would they think? Write status, delete. Pull down. No! I will express it. Who cares if what you have put out is whack? Those who are less are doing it. And they don't care. It's time to own it. It's time to break free. Can I give you 30 seconds? And say, I break free. Oh, Naphtali, a hind let loose. I break free. I'm not tied down. I'm not tied down. I'm not tied down. Thank you, Father. Amen. Listen, one of the things this defect does is that it makes you addicted to approvals. Who cares about who doesn't understand what you're doing? Who cares about who misunderstands it? Even if the whole world comes against it, who cares? You manifest yourself. Manifest what you have on the inside. Don't be addicted to praises and approvals of men. Don't do things because they only love it. Do it because you are convinced about it. And when someone disapproves of you and disapproves of the things you are doing, you cower in. There are people who felt when I was ordained an apostle that you are already simple enough to be ordained a pastor. Bible do for an apostle? But who cares about the opinion? Who is it that speaks when God has not said it? Who is the judge of whether I'm proud or humble? Am I living my life to make sense to men? No. Who cares? Lift your hand, side, break free from the grip of opinions of men. Say it again, I break free, I break free. I break free. I break free. I break free. I break free from that. Sit down. There are some of you who have giftings, who have abilities, but stepping out is your worst nightmare. And when you look at those who sing and those who do it, you can actually do much more. Some of you can act. And you look at them and wish it was you. You are so free on the inside. There's a big garden there. You are so loving. The only problem is expressing this thing. But the world only judge by sight. Only God sees the heart. And it will take a long time. It will take a long time for people to know you even have what you have. I sense very, very strongly that God has ordained this moment for people to step into their expressions. Somebody began to do something and somebody spoke against you and shut it down. And from that moment, you dread doing those things. It's time to pick it back. People have projected their insecurities on you, projected their opinions, projected their shallow minds on what you're doing. And you regretted doing it. It shut you down. You hated yourself for doing it. You stopped everything important about your life. You begin to live in the shadow of your oppression, of your oppressors. It's time to get it back. It's time to get back in the flow of what is yours. It's time to manifest all that God has placed within you. It's time to get back your life and not live in their opinion. It's time to pick back your calling. It's time. Some of you have watered down the size of the things you are doing. Because you don't want to offend anyone. Who cares? If there's anyone who has a touch of what I'm saying, lift your voice and cry to God and say, I break free. Break free. Can you say that in a moment? I break free. 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 Amen. Listen, building a healthy relationship begins with a very healthy lifestyle. It doesn't start with your spouse, it begins with you. It matters the kind of people entering it. It matters. You have suffered under those chains for too long. Some of you can't even dress the way you know you should. The way you should dress on your inside. Because you are not free. You try to mask it. Sometimes you pretend about it. But you know that you wish you were like people you are better than. You have too many goodies on your inside. When will the world begin to enjoy it? When will you be you and not someone else? When will your dressing be you and not someone else? When will you get out of their definition of you? They showed you a version of you they can like, and you choose to be that version so they can like you. Because that was how you tried to make sense to your parents and study the course you should not study. That was what happened. They subjected you to their opinions, put you in their molds, And people have spotted that weakness and they are taking advantage of it. And everyone tries to use you.
It's time to break free, guys.
You only have one life to live. You must become all that God has designed you to be.
If I may ask, are there people that you have never stepped out in your life because of fear? And tonight, let's take a step of faith. And you are stepping out as a sign to say, this is it. And this is the day I finally stepped out. Come out. Join me here. Come out. Don't be shy. Come on. Don't be shy. Come. That's it. Walk gallantly with boldness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's the beginning of a new order. It's the beginning of a new order. It's the beginning. You are going to bless the world with all that God has placed on your inside. It's the beginning of a new order. Those deposits will speak. You will not be a graveyard of God's giftings, of God's talents, of His abilities. No way. No way. Yes. So say it loud and clear where you are. I break into new expressions. 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 Yes, I'm no longer a slave to people's opinions and emotions. I will not try to help people manage their emotions. No, I live the life God has given to me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's still a girl who is not out. Where is she? Where are you? Step out now. There's a girl. If you wouldn't mind being in the spot, I beg you, come out. Let today be that day that you finally break the whole thing. Finally break it. Yes, thank you. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Come on, say it loud and clear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I have a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Because the world is about to enjoy new expressions, to be blessed by the graces and giftings placed in these individuals. You begin to manifest after your divine ordination. No longer held back with opinions of men and their schemes and manipulation. Expression is given to all your design, all the beauties on your inside, all your God-given abilities. You are no longer held back. You are free to do the counsel of God. From this moment, it is released to you the spirit of boldness and audacity. You become bold and audacious. You become bold and audacious. Now listen. I have a couple of time related with individuals who are narcissists. And one thing people get surprised about when they relate with me is that as cool as this guy is, he doesn't mind walking out on any abusive relationship. You can't hold me down. Never. People feel surprised that no one has ever walked. I don't stay there. Anyone who abuses you is not a friend to your destiny. There are friends you have to let go, because they have chosen to hold wrong versions of your life. They believe wrong things about you. They speak so highly of themselves and talk you down. No. You will not massage their ego at the expense of your life. It's time to step out. Hallelujah. The spirit of boldness and grace is released upon your lives.
You will not be small. In the name of Jesus. You will not be small. In the name of Jesus. The spirit of boldness is released. From today, you are free to become all you can become. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, give God a big hand. Walk majestically back to your seat. Come on, do that well, do that well, do that well. Give them a big hand. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to see you doing big things. And you will make reference to this day. And that was the day God broke me free. Give the Lord a big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Can we lift our hands and magnify God for this deliverance and for the amazing things He's doing? Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Spur of Life Church Global. It is his vision to raise God's end time on.
God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talent.
So, brace up for an experience.